ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸರುನಾಥಿಂದು ದಿನಾ ಬಂಧು ಜಗತ್ಪತೆ ಕೋಪೇಶಾ ಗೋಪಿಕಾ ಕಂತ ರಾಧಾ ಕಂತ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೆ ಸಪ್ತ ಕಂಸನಾ ಕೌರಂಗಿ ರಾಧೇ ಬೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನು ಸುತೆ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿ ಪ್ರಿಯ ವಂಶಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯ ಏವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸ್ತತಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರಿ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ.
I am most grateful to be amongst all of you today. Just before coming here, I was at the Institute with His Holiness Srila Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj. There was a wonderful little gathering there. A car full of devotees from Dallas, Texas, has driven all this way. This very ancient deity of Sri Sri Radha Damodara. Just because those deities were so very much eager to see Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj. The most beautiful story, which repeatedly is told in the holy scriptures, spiritual histories, is the wonderful reciprocations of love between the Lord and the Lord's devotees. How the Lord, to satisfy the heart of the devotee, to see the devotee, performs so many wonderful, wonderful pastimes. It is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu he appears in three different ways. Saksha, by being personally, physically present before his devotee. Avirbhav, where he appears miraculously. When he's actually somewhere else, he appears very miraculously by his own sweet will in the presence of his devotee. And Avesh, where the Lord literally appears from within the heart of the devotee to manifest his own potency through his devotee. When the Lord is performing his leela in these southern provinces of India, is Avirbhav. Anyone who saw him dancing in ecstatic love for Krishna with tears flowing from his eyes was enchanted. He would look at those people with such eyes of deep, deep spiritual love for the very soul. And he would say, Bolo Hari Hari! Bolo Hari Hari! Chant the names of the Lord. And who could refuse? He would raise his beautiful golden arms, which were like two magnificent pillars. His glance melting. They're steel framed hearts. They would chant. And by that chanting, within a moment, ecstatic love awakened within them. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Satya Kabunoi Sravanadi Suri Cheti Kuriyayudu. The pure love of God is within the heart of every living being. It is our nature. However, due to the misuse of our free will, we have entangled ourselves in the network of so many egoistic pursuits within this world, that with every pursuit, our consciousness becomes more covered over and entangled by those complexities. Every time we speak or act within this world, we are conditioning our consciousness. Every time you pursue a particular gratification, you become more addicted to that gratification. So material existence means people who are addicted to being proprietors, being enjoyers, and being controllers. With the illusion that they will become happy by this process. And therefore they are simply collecting, working so hard, very, very hard, collecting more and more and more, more anarthas or impurities to cover our hearts. But the nature of the soul is such that Ananda is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. And what is that bliss? That is the bliss of unconditional, unmotivated, loving service to the Supreme. But we have forgotten. Thinking, I am this body, I am of this sex, I am this nationality, of this race, of this religion, of this ethnic group. The list continues to expand. We have forgotten. Jivara Swarupoi, Krishnera, Nitya Das. That every spirit soul, we're all brothers and sisters because we're all part of God. We're all lovers of God. The chanting of the holy name awakens that love. Chaitanya prays, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, Gora Chandra Bode, Kota Nidra Jayo Maya, Tisa Chira Kole. You are sleeping in the lap of illusion. Wake up, wake up. Take the name of God and wake up. Mukunda Madhava Hari, chant these names. And real life will be realized. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his personal presence, was awakening love of God in the hearts of millions and millions of people. And Avirbhav, that is the next category. It is explained that there were four places Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was always in those four places. Whenever Nityananda Prabhu danced, wherever he was, whether he was in a jungle, whether he was hundreds of miles away, thousands of miles away, wherever Nityananda Prabhu danced, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was present there. To reciprocate with that beautiful offering of love. Whenever there was kirtan in the house of Srivas Thakur, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was personally present to reciprocate with the loving devotees loudly chanting the holy name. Whenever Sachi Mata, the Lord's mother, cooked food for the Lord, the Lord came there and ate it. Even after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he was living long, long, so many thousand kilometers away. But
Every single day she would cook, and she would weep, she would cry. This is just the preparation that my Nimai loves to eat. But he's not here. What shall I do? If only he was here, how he would enjoy it. And then she put that on the altar for her deities. And then she'd come off the altar and say the prayer and go back on the altar, and there was nothing there on the plate. She was thinking that perhaps I forgot to put it on the plate. Perhaps I cooked it and I forgot to put it on the altar. Or perhaps an animal came in and ate it all. And she'd go into the see the pots still had, and she'd fill the plate up again and offer it again and again. And Lord Chaitanya sent a message with Jankadananda Pandit to tell her that actually, do you remember that happened? That's because I personally come and eat it. You're crying, my Nimai, he likes this. Why he doesn't come to eat it? I come. Every time you cook, I'm there to eat whatever you prepare. And in a place called Panihati, there is the house of Raghava Pandit and his sister, Damayanti. And they had so much love, so much devotion. Patram pushpam palam toyam yomi bhakta prayachti. Krishna tells that he's always present where there is devotion. Even if you offer me a leaf, a flower, a fruit, or some water, everyone can afford that. If it's offered with devotion, I will accept it. They had so much love. They had such tender-hearted feelings for Lord Chaitanya that they would prepare just to please him. They would sometimes make little bags to send to Puri. They would send bags, not little bags, big bags. They would make thousands of these bags. They would make the bags. Everything was with so much devotion. It wasn't like you go to the grocery store and get plastic bags. No, they would personally sew. They would just get cotton and make it into threads and sew little bags and big bags for every preparation and seal it, sew it sealed very carefully. And they would have it all in an order. So the Lord would take everything in according to a particular sequence. And they made enough to last the whole year. No, not just one meal. They made enough to last the whole year for Sri Chaitanya. So much care and devotion. And they would make one preparation that they put a lot of fresh, pure ghee, which tasted very nice. But then the next preparation, they were thinking because of that ghee, he may have indigestion. So they'd make some bitter preparation with ginger and black pepper and so many things. That was their feeling. It wasn't a ritual. It was a personal expression of love. It explains in our scripture that whenever Damayanti and Raghava Pandit cook, Srimati Radharani would manifest in their hearts and she would actually stir the pots and put in the ingredients and make the preparation. And therefore in Panihati Gram, whenever and wherever any Raghava Pandit or his sister cooked in that kitchen, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally appeared to accept their offer. Wherever he may have been, by his divine potency. Hare Krishna. This is how the Lord reciprocates with the love of his devotees. We read the story of Sakshi Gopal just to protect a simple, not very educated Brahmin. We saw this drama just a few weeks ago here in this very temple room. It's a beautiful drama directed by Bhakti Maharaj Swami Maharaj. And there was an international cast. People from
Europe, London, New York, Japan. There's even some people from deep in Adam here. It's a wonderful Brahma.
But this little Brahmin, he was, and an old Brahmin, in order to protect and give pleasure to the devotee, the deity of Gopal walked over 1,000 kilometers from Vrindavan all the way to Vidyanagar, which is in Orissa. It's across about 5 states.
The Lord's love for his devotees. Bhakti Chaitra Swami, he loves to see the Lord. But a devotee, more than loving to see the Lord, loves to be seen by the Lord. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains, do not try to see Krishna, but try to serve Krishna so that Krishna is pleased to see you. Now this is a wonderful example that we're personally eyewitnessing here at Kirtanagar. Srila Bhakti Kirtan Swami Maharaj is serving Krishna in such a nice way, even though he's in such a physical condition that he really cannot even move, that Krishna is coming from all directions to see him. Yes, last week, Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra came from New York City, and they weren't. This was not in the direction. New York to Baltimore is a whole different route. Jagannath, so pleased by the service of Bhakti Kirtan Maharaj, he wanted to come and see him, and through the hearts of his devotees, dictated, take my chariot to Gita Nagari. Now, because he wanted to see Maharaj, he couldn't wait a long time, so he didn't take his chariot where everyone's pulling with. So he was eager to see Maharaj, so he got off that chariot and went in a chariot with wheels and an engine and everything. He came. Not only did he come to Kirtanagar, he came right to Maharaj's front door. And Maharaj came out. All the devotees of Kirtanagar gathered around. It's a beautiful, beautiful sight. Maharaj was remembering, you know, when he was a brahmachari in the 1970s, when he went to Jagannath Puri. And in Jagannath Puri, they're very strict. They have these ancient rules, which are not very agreeable by many people, that if you are not born with an Indian-made body, you cannot go into the temple. Doesn't matter who you are. If you're an atheist with an Indian body, you can go in. But if you surrendered your life and soul to Jagannath and risking everything to spread the glories of Jagannath all over the world, you're not allowed in the temple. Prabhupada was not happy with this. In fact, Prabhupada said, someday, he said to devotees, you build a temple in Jagannath Puri that's so big and so glorious that Jagannath from that temple will come right out into our temple. So that he can see devotees from all over the world. And he will. Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. Bhakti Kirtan Maharaj, born in a Western country, he went to the temple. And he thought, I'm going to try to go in. Now, I know foreign devotees. Foreign means non-Indian. Because I live in India, I'm conditioned to think anyone who's not Indian is a foreigner. In fact, when I look in the mirror, I think I'm a foreigner. what condition he does to people. So,
so people, they have guards standing at the door to make sure nobody goes in. It's not proper.
And I know devotees who were beaten because they tried to get in.
So, Maharaj went in, and nobody stopped him. And then one of the priests just took him by the hand and brought him right through the Jagan Mohan, the huge kirtan hall, and right up to the altar. And then took Maharaj and put his head right at the feet of Jagannath. And had him embrace Jagannath, Balaram and Subhadra, circumambulate him.
So he was telling us this story. Here, Gitanati, where Jagannath had traveled long distance across some state the devotee, just to prove this principle. Do not try to see Krishna, but try to serve Krishna in such a way that he is enthusiastic and blissful to see you. And today the same loving exchange has taken place. Radha Damodar has traveled by a wonderful chariot of devotees in Dallas, Texas. But Radha Damodar, so merciful, not only did they come to the front door, they walk right through the front door. They came right into Maharaj's sitting room just because they wanted to see Bhakti Tirtha Swami. And before I continue the class, I'd like all of you to hear the story of the history of these deities. They were the worshipable, beloved deities of His Holiness Srila Tamala Krishna Goswami. I personally worshipped them and carried them with him all over the world for many years. And a very illustrious divine servant of Srila Tamala Krishna Goswami Maharaj personally brought these deities to the Tara. Her name is Padaduli. If we can give her a microphone and if we can request her to tell the history of these deities.
First of all, I'd like to say I'm so happy I'm here through the mercy of my Guru Maharaj and Sri Radha Damodar. So the Gurudev found Radha Damodar one day when he was walking in, going for his japa walk in Juru Beach, Bombay, in the morning, after Mangalarati. He was walking with His Holiness Giridhari Swami, His Holiness Keshabhadi Maharaj, and other more devotees. And he saw something shining, glittering in the ocean shore of Juhu Beach. And he sent his servants to go and see what he had. So when they found the small deity of Krishna, and Gurudev was so happy, Krishna came to him. But this deity was covered up with so many dirt, and it was little dark in color. So Gurudev brought the deity to Murtiwala, very ancient Murtiwala, who was very expert in cleaning the deity. When he saw the deity, Krishna, he said, this deity must be under the ocean more than 500 years. So this is a very, very old deity. So when the king and the queen of Jaipur heard this, they were so happy because Gurudev took sannyas in Jaipur and he know them very well. And they made Radharani with pure gold and gifted Gurudev as a gift. And Gurudev named first Radha Damodar as Radha Gopinath. But he was feeling so much separation from Radha Damodar here, because he was traveling with Radha Damodar party. So he renamed them Radha Damodar, Shri Radha Damodar Ki. And his worship is amazing. He traveled with them for many years. His whole altar is just like the altar of Shri Radha Kalachandri in Dallas. And he has the beautiful setting. Every day he set up, like one day, like a pond with the peacocks and the cows and the birds. And another day with a little closet table, tiny little table. And also Prabhupada deity right on the altar, small deity, also my Guru Maharaj deity. And it's amazing, from Bhagavatam set, whole Bhagavatam, all, you can read the sloka, tiny, tiny script, the whole 10 canto, and little harmonium, little karsav, all, and he will set up every day. And it's amazing, we have to bring the whole altar and everything, it's a lot. And but when he stopped traveling with a servant, he decided to ask His Grace Sankarshan Prabhu from Austin, his Prabhupada disciple, and his wife is Kamal Krishna Maharaj's disciple, Mother Vishnu Priya, to take care of the deities in Austin. So they brought the deities over there and they started a center, and they've been worshipping all this while. But somehow they are, after Gurudev's departure, then they are traveling a lot. In preaching, they're preaching around the world, and through their mercy, I get the opportunity to worship them whenever they are traveling. So Radha Damodar comes to Dallas whenever they are traveling, at least 5 to 6 months a year, and we get the opportunity to take care of them. And I like to share, especially. This particular week, this 3 weeks I was taking care of Radha Damodar, I had this strong pushing of, like, Radha Damodar want to come here. They want to come here, and I feel like Gurudev also want to come here. And I tried several times to come, especially when Garuda Prabhu and Ujjayini Mataji left 3 days ago. I was lamenting so badly, I should have gone with them. And whole night, I don't know, I had this feeling, have to come here. And the next day, I approached some devotees. And just the night before I came here, we just got the ticket, and just, it all happened within less than 12 hours, it all happened. And we couldn't even believe that we are here right now. And I can see why that Radha Damodar really want to see Bhakti Ketra Swami. And they are so happy to see Maharaj, and we are so happy to be here also. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Everyone.
to Kirti Maharaj shared with me. Wonderful dream that he had some time back. I will just give a few parts of that dream. We know that in the guise of dreams, the Lord or his divine associates sometimes appear within our hearts to inspire us, to chastise us, to bless us. Maharaj told me this story a few weeks ago, and he had a dream that Mahārāja Krishna Goswami appeared to him. Now we know that Mahārāja Krishna Goswami Maharaj was so often Śrīla Prabhupāda's personal secretary. And so very often Śrīla Prabhupāda would instruct and direct people according to his will through to Mahārāja Krishna Goswami. Most of you know that beautiful story of when Śrīla Prabhupāda was in his last days in Vrindavan. Ghanashyam, which was the Brahmacharya name of Śrīla Bhakti Kirti Maharaj, was writing him incredible reports of his fearless, creative, enthusiastic activities he was performing to put Prabhupada's books in libraries, schools, colleges, behind the Iron Curtain in the communist country. Those letters meant so much to Prabhupada. He would have Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj read them to him again and again and again. And when guests would come, he would ask Tamal Krishna Goswami to read it to the guests. He was so proud of Bhakti Kirti Maharaj. He also went to London. His last journey outside of Vrindavan. And there Bhakti Kirti Maharaj, along with Krishna Chaitra Prabhu and another devotee, they traveled from Eastern Europe all the way to London to see Prabhupada. Prabhupada was sitting at his little table where he would translate his books. And when Maharaj came in, Prabhupada embraced him. Crying, he embraced him with such affection and gratitude. Prabhupada spoke these immortal words. He said, "Your life is successful." You will see Krishna in this lifetime. Your life is successful. Now oftentimes, at that time, Prabhupada was not able to answer letters. So it was actually Tamal Krishna Goswami that was writing the letters to Ghanashyam to explain to him Prabhupada's reaction. And Prabhupada would relate what he wanted Tamal Krishna Goswami to tell Ghanashyam. And he was the one who actually told. And it was Tamal Krishna Goswami, when Prabhupada came to London, that brought Ghanashyam into the room to meet Prabhupada. So they had a special relationship. So Srimad Krishna Goswami not long ago appeared to Bhakti Kirtan Swami and called him back. Prabhupada is calling for you. You have to leave this world and come to him. Prabhupada is calling for this world to his eternal loving service. Took him by his hand, he embraced him and said, please come. And then Srimad Krishna Goswami began to weep tears. And Maharaj told me the reason he was crying is because Srimad Krishna Maharaj knew, although he's calling Bhakti Kirtan Swami back to the spiritual world to be with Prabhupada, he knew how much pain it would cause to Maharaj's disciples, to his well-wishers and friends in this world. Because Srimad Krishna Goswami Maharaj, he experienced how much pain and suffering of separation it caused his own followers when he departed from this world and Prabhupada's cause. And he understood the followers of Bhakti Kirtan Swami would go through that same love and separation. Bhakti Kirtan Maharaj explained a lot of beautiful details of this dream to me, which I don't feel privileged to speak. But on behalf of Prabhupada Goswami Maharaj came to call him back to God. So it is very beautiful that Srimad Krishna Goswami Maharaj, through the heart of his loving disciples, sent his worshipable deities to come to us. After this darshan today, forgive me for saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I said to Maharaj, I said, Maharaj, Krishna's been calling you back home, back to Godhead for a long time, but you're just not going. It seems because you're not going to see, you're not going to him, he's coming to you. Last week he came as Jagannath, this week he came as Radha Damodara. Coming to remind you, they're waiting for you, Maharaj. In the song that we sang today by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we're hearing about the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave he and Haridas Thakur a simple message. Go to every home. Go to every person you meet on the street, to every marketplace, to every bathing hut, whoever you meet. Do not consider whether they're qualified or disqualified. Do not consider any material qualifications or disqualifications. It doesn't matter. Just give them this message. Bolo Krishna, Bajo Krishna, Koro Krishna. Chant the holy names of Krishna. Worship Krishna. And speak the instructions of Krishna. Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Dana Prana. Krishna is your father. Krishna is your mother. Krishna is the very treasure of your life. Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas went everywhere, repeating this message, but not in an ordinary way. We understand that Nityananda Prabhu is Lord Balaram. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the first expansion of the Supreme Lord Krishna, all-powerful. He You know the story in the Krishna, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, where that hypocritical speaker of the Bhagavat philosophy, Romaharshan Sutta, he was a great learned scholar. How he knew philosophy. How he knew the scripture. In Naimasharanya, thousands and thousands of learned sages asked him to be the speaker and enlighten them, sitting on the high seat. He was directly the disciple and student of Mahamuni Vedavyas. Balaram came. Romaharshan Sutta just kept speaking. He didn't offer respect. Amani namani veda. An actual spiritually elevated person, it's not a matter of scholarship. Scholarship is great, very useful and wonderful. But if you really understand what you're speaking, you will have qualities. The character of a person shows how much a person actually understands. Amani namanati. A great personality is humble and eager to offer all respects to others and expect none in return. So Balaramji wanted to show the world how he does not like people who are proud. So he took a piece of grass. How many of you have ever picked up a piece of grass? Now tell me, what are you able to do with that piece of grass? Well, I'll tell you what Balaram did with that piece of grass. He touched Romaharshan Sutta in the chest with that grass and stopped his heart, and he fell dead. Of course, he was liberated. He was liberated. But he wanted to show good example. However learned or great or famous or worshipable you may be in the eyes of others, if you're not humble and respectful, then it's all a show. Today we see many big leaders, even in spiritual institutions, who become very proud. They're not in the spirit of humble servants. They have many followers, but they're not pleased with the Lord. They are not pleased with the Lord unless they have the characteristics of the same person. Tatikshava karunaka surata sarvadehina ajatasatravasanta sarva sadhu bhushana. These are ornaments that decorate a really saintly person. Tolerance, humility, a loving, respectful friend to every living entity, self-controlled, and intoxicated with love of God. These are the qualities that are ornaments of a true saintly person. Now that same Balaram appeared as Nityananda, who manifested in this incarnation the supreme extent of magnanimity. Nityananda Prabhu, on Lord Chaitanya's instruction, was going to people and falling at their feet with all humility, folded hands, saying, "I've come to you as a beggar. I've come to you as a beggar. Please, give me this chair. Bolo Krishna, Vajo Krishna, Koro Krishna Saksha. Krishna Mata Krishna Pita Krishna Dana Prahan. Chant the names of Krishna, worship Krishna, speak the glories and instructions of Krishna. Follow those instructions. Krishna is your mother, your father, and the very treasure of your life." And there were tears in his eyes. Lord Nityananda Prabhu would say, "Just chant the names of Krishna and I will be your eternal servant. You will be my very life and soul." people didn't accept, he would fall into the dust under their feet and roll in the ground and beg them. And he would take that same piece of grass that he chastised Rama Harshan Sutta with and put it between his teeth as a symbol of total humility and beg them to take Krishna's name. Bhaktivinoda Thakur concludes this beautiful song, Jive Goya Krishna Nam Sarva Dharma Sam, that the essence of all religion is to show compassion to suffering souls and to chant the holy names of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada, he captured that essence. Just as Lord Chaitanya told Nityananda and Haridas to go throughout the town of Navadvip and to travel throughout the province of Bengal with this message. In Parampara, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur ordered Prabhupada in the same way to go throughout the entire world and approach every type of human being with this message. Chant holy names, worship the Lord, follow his teaching. He is your life and soul. And Prabhupada did that. With grass between his teeth, he came to New York City, living in the Bowery. Prabhupada traveled around the world 13 times. To Europe, to Russia, to America, Mexico, South America, Africa, Australia, and the mission of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Why? He was motivated by compassion, the faith in God's holy name. And Prabhupada invested that same spirit in those who love him. Lord Krishna Goswami Maharaj. And with lotus feet we worship with our heart and soul. Such risks he took. How much Prabhupada saw in him a person that took the order of Guru and Krishna as his life and soul. He started the first organized Nam Sankirtan party in the Western world. In Los Angeles, in California, San Francisco. And he was the first person to really organize book distribution. First Back to Godhead, then Big Book. Prabhupada sent him to London, to Germany. Sent him to India to be the first GBC leader of India on Prabhupada's behalf. He organized big Greyhound buses crisscrossing all over the United States of America, distributing millions of books, Harinam Kirtan. And he traveled with Sri Sri Radha Damodar. By Prabhupada's order, he went behind the bamboo curtain to Red China. Nobody even considered that place in our movement. Prabhupada said, I think you should go to China. What? That's usually what you tell somebody where you don't want to just get rid of them. You say, go to China. The American expression. But Prabhupada meant it. Literally. He went to China. He had to grow his hair, disguise himself, and fearlessly he established Krishna consciousness in such an incredible, wonderful way that now there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of just devotees from China. People who by their upbringing in life had no conception of God. Now for most of us, we're born and raised hearing about God, some supreme being. But if you're in a culture where nobody speaks a word about such a thing or a person, where the law of land is atheism, and generations have gone by in that spirit, when he was, Tamal Krishna Goswami told me, one of the most difficult things is translating Prabhupada's books into Chinese. Now there's 26 letters in the English alphabet. Yes? But do you know how many letters there are in the Chinese alphabet? Does anybody know? Over 12,000. Would you like to learn Chinese? But of those 12,000 letters and all the combinations of the letters, there's never been a word describing a supreme being or a God. Nobody knew how to say anything that resembled God. They had to just kind of put things together to give people an idea of what a God was. How do you all? But he did it. He would just live in the hotels, and he would go out to parks, and he would meet some devotees, and he would meet some Chinese people and preach to them, and they would become devotees, and then he'd invite them back to his hotel room, and he'd have kirtan, and he'd cook feasts for them, and he'd have lectures for them. You know, cooking feasts and lectures. After some days, you know, the people who own the hotel thought, what is going on here? From my understanding, he was kicked out of every hotel he went to, and he was never allowed back. That's how he began this. In the spirit of Nityananda Prabhu. So many wonderful services he had done. Bhakti Kirtaswami is another such illustrious descendant of Nityananda Prabhu in the line of Srila Prabhupada. He received that message. He traveled all over America. It's not easy the way he traveled as a minority person by his race. A lot of difficulties. And then he went to Europe, in Eastern Europe, communist countries. And later on, he was sent to Africa, to countries that never, ever heard of Krishna. And he was establishing Krishna consciousness in all those countries in Western Africa. Nigeria, Ghana, Ivory Coast, what are some of the other countries? Liberia, many places, very, very dangerous military takeovers, revolutions. Even people were doing voodoo curses on him, trying to poison him. Yes? But he continued on. Total faith in Krishna. The loving servant. And later on he traveled with so many followers and loving well-wishers in Russia, Eastern Europe, Western Europe, and India, and Australia, and South America, practically all countries, America, with that straw between his teeth. Tears of love and compassion begging people, please be happy. Chant Hare Krishna. So today is a very holy day. According to our Vaishnava spiritual calendar, it is the day we celebrate the Panihati Chira Dahi Utsav, the festival of chipped rice and yogurt. Now, to some people, they don't understand what kind of festival is this. Festival of chipped rice and yogurt? But it's a very joyful festival. Would you like me to tell the story? So now I will officially begin today's class. But it will be a very brief class for your satisfaction. It is a story of how we cannot approach the Lord without the blessings and mercy of the spiritual master of Krishna. It is part of the story of our Prayojana Acharya, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. I am going to summarize. Raghunath Das Goswami was the son of a family that had procured immense wealth and prestige. His uncle was Hiranya Majumdar, and his father's name was Govardhan. They were zamindars. They were excellent at business. And they had huge amounts of real estate. And they were the tax collectors for the king. And they got portions of that tax. And how they invested it was phenomenal. Today they would practically be like in the category of multimillionaire or billionaire. They had fabulous wealth. And between all the families, there was only one descendant, Raghunath. That means he was the exclusive heir to their massive expanded fortune. Well, from his childhood, his parents' guru was his name is Yadunandanacharya. Yadunandanacharya was a direct initiated disciple of Sri Advaitacharya and a dear Shiksha disciple of Vasudev Dutt. Vasudev Dutt was so merciful, he prayed that all the sins of every living entity in the entire universe would be on his head to suffer so that everyone could go back to Krishna in the spiritual world. That was the nature of these types of devotees. So Yadunandanacharya and Balaramacharya, priests of their father, took Raghunath when he was just a small little boy to a place called Chandpur. There they had invited Srila Haridas Thakur. He described the disappearance lila of Srila Haridas Thakur here at Deepanagari last Sunday. He was living in caves in the forest, completely detached from anything except the service of the Lord. Haridas Thakur was persecuted acutely because he was, by social standards, according to the mundane conceptions of the day, he was an untouchable, an outcast. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead declared that he was the crest jewel ornament
of the whole universe because of his love of God.
He would chant minimum 300,000 names of Krishna every single day. When Raghunath Das Goswami, as a child, witnessed the love of God and the renunciation of Thakur Haridas, he became deeply affected. And he literally lost all interest in all the pleasures and prestige and acquisitions of this world. How many people do you know like that? So when his parents saw that he was so indifferent to prosperity and enjoyment of the senses, they were worried. What's going to motivate him to stay in our family? So when he was very young, they married him to a beautiful, angelic young lady. And they just lavished him with immense wealth of anything he could want. But he didn't want any. In fact, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after taking sannyas, was in Shantipur, Raghunath Das Goswami went to him and told him his plan. He wanted to run away from home. He was deeply moved by Lord Chaitanya. He surrendered his life to Lord Chaitanya. And then the next time Lord Chaitanya came to Shantipur, during one of his visits to his attempted visits to Mathura, Lord Chaitanya told Raghunath that you should pretend to be a materialistic person, just to not create so much disturbance. But in your heart, you should not be attached to any of it. Just worship Krishna. Just be attached to Krishna. And soon Krishna will show his mercy on you. So he did that for some time, about a year. He just pretended to be a very, very ordinary person, attached to materialistic things. But then he just couldn't tolerate it any longer, and he ran away from home. His parents, with all their wealth and all their health, they apprehended him in a forest and brought him back. And then he ran away from home again, and they brought him back. And he ran away again and again and again, and they kept apprehending him and bringing him back. This was becoming practically a daily affair, that Raghunath would run away and they would bring him back. One day his mother said to his father that our son has gone mad. He keeps running away from home. We should tie him up with ropes and keep him here. And father became very, very disturbed in his heart. He spoke to his wife. He said, "What can we do? He has the wealth and the prestige of Indra, the king of heaven. He has a wife more beautiful than an angel. If these things cannot keep him home, how will ropes keep him home?" Our son has received the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he has become a madman. What can keep such a madman of Sri Chaitanya Chandra at home? Raghunath Das heard that Nityananda Prabhu was visiting Panihati. Have any of you ever been to the home of Raghunath Das Goswami? There is a place called Saptagram, which is a collection of villages. And in one of those villages, Saptagram, is Krishnapur. That is the birthplace and home of Raghunath Das Goswami. It's a wonderful place. So Raghunath Das Goswami walked, along with some guards and assistants, all the way to Panihati on the bank of the river Ganga. And when he arrived,
right on the banks of the river Ganges, there was a big banyan tree. And on a high raised platform, there was a made out of stone, Nityananda Prabhu was sitting. He was effulgent as hundreds and thousands of rising suns.
Nityananda Prabhu was surrounded by
his most intimate loving associates. Ramdas Abhiram, Sundarananda, Dhananjay Pandit, Mahesh Pandit, Goridas Pandit, Gadadhar Das, such great personalities were all there along. Murari, Udarandat.
Raghunath Das Goswami was so deeply moved by seeing Lord Nityananda with his most beloved associates. From a distant place, he offered his respectful obeisances. One devotee told Lord Nityananda, "There is Raghunath in a distant place offering obeisances." And Nityananda Prabhu called out to Raghunath, said, "Raghunath, come here now, come here." But Raghunath Das Goswami was so humble, he felt himself so lowly and contaminated, that what right did he have to come near the Lord? So he remained where he was. In fact, he started moving backward. So Nityananda Prabhu personally went right to him and caught him and placed his feet on Raghunath's head. Hare Krishna. Then he told Raghunath Das Goswami, "You are a thief. It is the way of a thief to keep a distance and hide from someone. So today I will punish you. Your punishment will be, I want you to arrange a feast of chist rice and yogurt for all my devotees." Raghunath Das Goswami was very happy. He was ecstatic. He immediately got all of his assistants and went to the town and bought the entire stock of chist rice and yogurt and bananas and fruits and whatever else edibles there were. He went from village to village and village just buying. Then he got several hundred big clay pots. Then he got five or seven gigantic clay pots. Should I continue? He filled one clay pot with hot milk. And then he soaked. It wasn't very hot. He soaked half the chipped rice in milk. No, I'm sorry. He soaked all the chipped rice in milk. No. And after soaking it, then he divided the chipped rice into two parts. Half he put in big clay pots that was filled with chipped rice, yogurt, bananas, and sugar. And the other half, the chipped rice was soaking in condensed milk and a special delicacy variety of bananas called champakala and clarified butter, ghee, and camphor and sugar. And then after soaking all the chipped rice, he offered it all to Lord Nityananda. And Nityananda Prabhu arranged for everyone to be served these two varieties of chipped rice. And then everybody had two clay pots of chipped rice. Does everyone remember what was the first one? Soaked chipped rice soaked in yogurt, bananas, and sugar. And the next pot that each had was just dry soaked and condensed milk and sugar and champakala banana and ghee and camphor. And soon the news spread that Nityananda Prabhu was having a Chiratahi Utsav festival. And so many learned Brahmins and scholars and Vaishnavas. And Nityananda Prabhu personally stood up and welcomed every single one of them and sat them down. On the high platform under the banyan tree were his intimate associates, and on a large platform under that, so many respectable persons came. And soon, entire towns and villages were coming. So Raghunath Das Goswami just got more and more and more and more chipped rice and yogurt and soaking and condensed milk. He was buying out everything. In fact, people were just, all these shopkeepers were coming, and Raghunath would buy everything they had, sit them down, and then serve them with the same things he just bought for them. And there were so many people. The entire bank of the Ganges was filled with people. And when there was no place to sit in the Ganges, just to get those two clay pots, people were sitting, or not sitting, standing in the water of the Ganges, because there was nobody, there was nowhere else to put their body. And they all had their two little pots soaking Jesus Christ. And Nityananda Prabhu, he was so pleased. He was so happy to see this festival in his mind with deep love and devotion. He meditated on Lord Chaitanya and offered a prayer that Lord Chaitanya should be here to participate in this festival. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. But only Nityananda and a few very exalted souls could see him, but he had actually appeared. And Nityananda Prabhu made a plate next to him and a sitting place for Lord Chaitanya to sit. But first they went to all the pots of all the eaters. And Lord Chaitanya took a morsel of the chipped rice from each pot and put it in Nityananda Prabhu's mouth, and Nityananda Prabhu put a morsel in Lord Chaitanya's mouth. So every pot was maha maha prasad. Then they sit down and they started to honor this wonderful, wonderful feast. And all the devotees were ordered by Nityananda, take prasad and chant Hari Hari! Which they blissfully did. Wonderful festival. Joyous festival. Raghava Pandit came. Raghava Pandit, we just discussed how Srimati Radharani personally cooks in his house through the hands of him and his sister. Raghava Pandit came and he said, Nityananda Prabhu, I invited you for prasad at my house today. I already made a big feast. It's offered to the deities and it's waiting for you. And Nityananda Prabhu was eating his chipped rice and yogurt. And he said, I am from the community of cowherd boys. And we cowherd boys, we find great satisfaction having a picnic in the grass under the tree on the banks of a river. So I will come to your house this evening for dinner. Meanwhile, whatever you cook, bring it on and serve it out. So Raghava Pandit came with large, large quantities of preparations and served Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya and the devotees. It's a wonderful feast. After they all took prasad to their full satisfaction, devotees were filled up to their neck. Have you ever been filled up to your neck? Chipped rice, condensed milk, and yogurt. And they all washed their hands, and Lord Nityananda Prabhu, just worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with love and devotion, he was offered by Raghava Pandit garlands and sandalwood, and he took large quantities of garland and sandalwood and was personally putting it on the bodies of each devotee to honor and worship. And after the whole feast was complete, Nityananda Prabhu took his clay pot and Lord Chaitanya's clay pot directly and gave them to Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami served it to his assistants and ate it himself. That evening, they all gathered in the house of Raghava Pandit. And Nityananda Prabhu first induced the devotees to perform Harinam Sankirtan. And as the devotees were chanting, Nityananda Prabhu was just glancing upon them. And have you ever heard what happens when Nityananda Prabhu glances at them? On another occasion, previous to this, in Panihati, in the same exact location, Nityananda Prabhu wanted to have an ecstatic kirtan. First he told Raghava Pandit, "Give me a garland of kadamba flowers." Raghava Pandit said, "We don't have kadamba trees, and even if we did, it's not the kadamba season. Kadamba flowers only grow on the trees in the rainy season. It's not the rainy season." So Lord Chaitanya, Nityananda told Raghava Pandit, "Just go outside and see what you see." And he went out, and he saw a miracle. On a lime tree, there was hundreds of fully blossomed, peerless kadamba flowers. He made a garland and offered it. Nityananda Prabhu said, "Now thank your time." And he had everyone dancing. He glanced at a devotee, and that devotee would be so infused with ecstasy that he danced right up to the top of a tree. And then he went dancing off the branch of the tree to the limb of the tree to the little twigs. He was dancing on the leaves and the twigs. He didn't fall. And he became so ecstatic, he just cried out, "I am a cowherd boy," and jumped off the tree onto the ground, dancing. Another person, Nityananda, glanced on. They became so ecstatic in love and devotion, they wanted to dance with the trees. And they just so much lost control of themselves, they embraced the tree, and while dancing, they uprooted the tree and were dancing with it. One time he just glanced across the courtyard of devotees, and as he glanced, each one of them fell unconscious. Then he glanced the other way, they all came up again. Nityananda Prabhu ki jai. This glance infused them with such ecstasy that kirtan went on for 3 months. Non-stop. And for that 3 months, nobody slept, nobody ate a morsel of food, and nobody even drank a drop of water. That is the power of Nityananda Prabhu's glance of love. They were intoxicated with Krishna prana, love of God. So Nityananda Prabhu on this occasion had everyone dancing, and then he personally came to dance. And what do you think happened when he started to dance with his arms raised? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally appeared to dance with Nityananda Prabhu. He was watching everything. And after just hours and hours of kirtan, they took prasad. And Raghava Pandit saved all the remnants of the Lord for Raghunath Das Goswami. The next morning, Raghunath Das Goswami had to leave. But he went to meet Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who was sitting once again under that magnificent banyan tree on the stone platform on the banks of the Ganges River. Raghunath Das Goswami
was so humble. He didn't feel qualified to speak to Lord Nityananda Prabhu directly. So he spoke to Raghava Pandit with his appeal. And through Raghava Pandit, this message was given to Nityananda Prabhu. He said, "I am the lowest amongst men. I am sinful and condemned. Nevertheless, I have a very deep aspiration in my heart. I long to seek shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Like a dwarf, Radha Damodar Ki Jai, like a dwarf that tries to catch the moon, I have attempted again and again, but have failed.
I feel so fearful and ashamed to even bring this appeal to you, my Lord. But I have no one else to turn to. Because it is well known that there is no one who can get the mercy of the shelter of the Supreme Lord Chaitanya except through your mercy. I beg you, grant me this one benediction that I may obtain the shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya as my only wish and desire in life." Lord Nityananda Prabhu was amazed. He turned to the devotees and examined the quality and characteristic of this Raghunath Das Goswami. He has immense wealth, comfort, fame, and prestige. And by the mercy of Krishna, he has no attachment for any of it. In fact, he doesn't like it. He wants to leave it all behind and enter into the renounced order of life to serve the Lord. Then Lord Nityananda Prabhu appealed to the devotees, "Everyone, please give him your blessings that his wish will be fulfilled." Then Nityananda Prabhu looked upon Raghunath Das Goswami and spoke words of love. He said, "Raghunath Das, you have everything a materialistic person can possibly want. Everything that everyone in this world is striving and struggling to achieve, you have it. But you have no... you have no satisfaction without service to the Lord. Because you held this feast of chipped rice and yogurt with such love and devotion, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally appeared during your feast to honor the food that you offered. And he danced in our kirtan. He came here to Panihati just to deliver you. Because you have pleased the Lord and you have pleased all these devotees by your service, very soon your wish will be fulfilled. You will attain the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. You will be one of his most confidential, intimate associates. The Lord will put you under the care of his own personal secretary, Swarup Damodar Goswami, for you to serve." Raghunath Das Goswami was so very, very grateful.
He took the dust of the feet and worshiped every single devotee with great humility, and then the Lord himself. And the next day, he gave immense wealth to Vidyananda and divided his wealth to all the assembled devotees, to Raghava Pandit. But it was all secret, so that nobody knew who it was coming from. Not that he had a plaque that I donated to. He made it all secret. And he had Raghava Pandit only deliver it after everybody, after Nityananda Prabhu returned to his own residence. So soon after that, Raghunath Das Goswami was just feeling so much happiness and hope and faith. One night when there was 96 minutes left till sunrise, all the guards, there were 12 guards monitoring him 24 hours a day so he wouldn't escape. But on this night, because it was so late, all the guards happened to fall asleep. And Yadunandana Acharya, the guru of the family, came and told Raghunath, woke him up, and said, the pujari, the priest of our temple, have left the service of our deity. Please go to him and convince him to continue his service. So they left together. And yesterday they were sleeping. And Raghunath said, I'll take care of it. You should go home. So Yadunandana Acharya went home, and Raghunath Das was thinking, the chance has come. He ran in the eastern direction, but he didn't take the main road. He went through the paths going through the jungles and forests. And he kept looking back to see if anyone was following him. And he walked about 30 miles. Then he stopped at the shed of a cowherd man, and he slept with the cows. And that morning, he was given a little bit of milk, and then he continued his journey. And he was thinking, if I go in the proper direction, then they will find me, because they're definitely hunting for me. So he went in a different direction. He went in the southern direction instead of the eastern direction. And he only took paths through the jungles and forests. And he rolled. The next morning, when the parents woke up, they looked for him. And they saw Yadunandana Acharya. Did you see our son? Yes, he came with me. And I sent him home. And they realized he has gone. It's a long, beautiful story. But I'll tell you this much. For 12 days he traveled. And in those 12 days, only 3 days he obtained food. But he never felt any inconvenience because he was so fixed with intense determination to see the Lord and give his life to the Lord. And finally, when he arrived in Jagannath Puri, he was emaciated, thin. His clothes were in shambles. Lord Chaitanya was in his residence, and Raghunath Das from a distance offered his obeisances, and Mukunda Das told the Lord, there is Raghunath offering obeisances, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got up. Raghunath fell and clasped Lord Chaitanya's feet. Lord Chaitanya picked him up and embraced him. He said, Raghunath Das, how can anyone possibly escape such material entanglement without the mercy of Krishna? And Raghunath Das Goswami said, I do not know what is the mercy of Krishna, but I know that it is your mercy, my Lord, that has given me the shelter of your loving service. Raghunath Das, or Lord Chaitanya then, spoke to Swarup Damodar Goswami, his own personal secretary, and said, I hereby entrust
Raghunath Das under your care. Please take care of him. And then he took Lord Chaitanya took Raghunath's hand and placed it in the hand of Swarup Damodar Goswami.
And then the Lord told Govinda, please have him bathe in the sea, then bring him to Lord Jagannath, then give him Mahaprasad. So for 3 days he was taking nice prasad of Lord Chaitanya's personal remnants. But then he didn't feel qualified to do that. So he started begging at the Singhadwaram gate. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, why he's not coming anymore? Govinda said, he's become a beggar at the Singhadwaram gate. Lord Chaitanya said, very good. And after some time, he didn't see Raghunath at Singhadwaram gate. He said, where's Raghunath? Why he's not there? He said he was thinking it wasn't right to be a beggar like this. Now he's going to the food stall, the charity food stall, and standing in line and getting some food there. Lord said, oh, this is very good. Because when one is a beggar, one cannot keep neutrality. One is thinking, this person gave me something yesterday, will he give me something today? Why this person walked by and didn't give me anything? Oh, this person's very nice. Thank you. So then he was a charity booth. Once a day, at midday, he would go. And he would only wear a tattered piece of cloth as a loincloth and another little tattered wrapper around his shoulders. He wore the simplest clothes, ate the simplest food, but he was always immersed in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. At a certain point, Lord Chaitanya asked, how come I don't even see him at the charity food booths anymore? What is he eating? Swarup Damodara Goswami told him. Now, if you try to imitate him, he will die. He said that when the prasad comes out of Jagannath Temple, it's sold in the shops. And after about 3 days, if things are not sold, the prasad gets rotten. So that rotten prasad is thrown in a pile near the Singhadwaram gate. And he said, the cows come and eat that prasad during the day. And certain prasad that is not palatable to the cows are spit out by the cows. And in the middle of the night, when no one sees him, Raghunath comes and collects that prasad and carefully washes it and takes the inner portion of it and eats that. Swarup Damodar Goswami found out about Raghunath eating that, and he personally ate some and said, this is like nectar. And Lord Chaitanya wanted to get some too. So one day he came to Raghunath Das Goswami's little residence under a tree and said, Raghunath Das, what are you eating? Raghunath hit it. He said, nothing. Lord Chaitanya, how can you hide from the Lord? He knows everything. He reached and got that little pot of the little inner kernel of decomposed rice spit out by cows. And Lord Chaitanya took a morsel of it. And then he went to take another morsel, and Swarup Damodar Goswami stopped him and said, my Lord, it is not fit for you, it is not fit for you. Lord Chaitanya smiled. He said, I have tasted all the varieties of Mahaprasad of Jagannath, and I will say that I have never tasted anything so sweet
and nectarine. That's what Raghunath Das Goswami is. What was the Lord tasting?
He was tasting his spirit of love, his spirit of devotion, his spirit of renunciation for the service of the Lord. The Lord does not accept what we do or what we offer. He accepts the purpose in which it is offered. Raghunath Das Goswami just had such an incredible, super quality of humility. This is what he felt he should be eating. There was nothing unnatural about it. Lord Chaitanya was so pleased with Raghunath.
Mahaprabhu Bhaktikane Vairagya Pradhan Yaha.
There's a beautiful verse in this regard that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very pleased to see the renunciation of his devotee. But renunciation doesn't mean just giving up things. It means whatever we do, to do it in a spirit of love and devotion for the Lord. We know Yukta Vairagya. Raghunath Das Goswami was, according to his nature, was exhibiting the perfection of that type of renunciation.
We also have King Prataparudra. He was a king living in a palace with massive riches and fame, but he used all that in God's service.
That is also perfect renunciation. Real renunciation is to utilize whatever we have for the welfare of humanity in the service of God. The Lord was so pleased that Lord Chaitanya gave Raghunath Das Goswami the most precious possession of his life. There was a devotee who had come from Vrindavan and brought Lord Chaitanya a Govardhan Shila, a stone from Govardhan Hill, and Gunjamala, which is so dear to Sri Radharani. This Govardhan Shila, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept with him continuously for 3 years. He saw that Govardhan Shila as Krishna's body. Lord Chaitanya, in the mood of Srimati Radharani, when he would go in ecstasy, he would hold the Shila to his heart. He would hold the Shila to his eyes, to his head. Day and night, that Govardhan Shila was covered by the tears of ecstatic love of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He offered that Shiva, which was his very life and soul, to Raghunath Das Goswami, along with the sacred Gunjamala. And Lord Chaitanya told Raghunath that you should worship Giriraj with a jug of water and tulsi leaves. Every day, offer 8 tulsi manjaris, or flowers, with a leaf on each side of it, to Giriraj. That was his worship, bathing him with water and offering him tulsi manjaris and leaves. Raghunath Das Goswami, when he received that gift, he was thinking in his heart that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given me a place of residence near Govardhan Hill. And by giving me the Gunjamala, he has given me eternal shelter in the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. Later, Swarup Damodar Goswami was arranging for very costly sweetmeats to be offered to Giriraj by Raghunath Das Goswami. Today we are celebrating Shiradahi Utsav, the story of when Raghunath Das Goswami received the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu to make all of his spiritual aspirations a reality. And who is Nityananda Prabhu? He is the original Guru. The spiritual masters of this world are the humble servant representatives of Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu taught in this pastime that by the mercy of Guru and the mercy of the Vaishnavas, the devotees of the Lord, the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord becomes a reality. And to receive that mercy, we must adopt the spirit of humble servitude. Sri Raghunath Das Goswami received the mercy by performing that humble service to all the devotees, for all of the common people. From Nityananda Prabhu, the Lord, to all of his intimate associates, to all of the devotees, and to all the common people, he served them with humility and sincerity. And therefore, the servant of the servant of the servant, the sweetest, most aspired attainment in all of creation, is not to be a master, to be a humble servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord, of the gopis. And in that service, the supreme eternal shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord is possible. That is what we reflect upon on the day of the Shiradahi Utsav. And another thing we meditate on is prasad. I do not know if they made Shiradahi Utsav, but they made Utsav. They made a nice feast for all of us. So now please take prasad to your full satisfaction. And while honoring prasad, let us, with very prayerful and grateful hearts, remember this most beloved, empowered representative of Nityananda Prabhu, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj. Because by Nityananda Prabhu's arrangement, he may not be with us very much longer. Physically, but it is our prayer that he will forever accept the love of our hearts. Thank you very, very much. Should we dance for 5 minutes? If you would like prasad, please take prasad, because we're breaking all rules today. But if you'd like to dance, please dance.